This ROFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Hello? Hello, look at that. Why can I not hear? How is everyone today? Welcome to When the Room Goes Quiet. My name is Tan and I have a very special friend with me. Her name's Cheryl. I think you've met her before.
Afternoon.
Sorry, I'm just trying to find the volume because I can't hear. There you go. Oh, there you are. Hey. Yes, so this is a very special show. Not only this is would be my last, but I'm introducing Cheryl to carry on this legacy. Not only is this show about finding what makes you tick, but also being the real, authentic you. The only that you that you know how to be. And also celebrating wins, celebrating victories, all these things that we do as women, as parents, as mums, wives, to have a platform where we can celebrate each other. That's what this show's about. And also talking about topics that are less shared, whether it's about our identity, things that you've felt that you couldn't share about, this is the place. That I feel like I can be comfortable, very... to be myself, to have a woman on here, woman of strength, to be on here to talk about themselves too. Celebrating the last, but also celebrating the first, of a new show where Cheryl will be presenting an array of ideas that I believe God's placed in her heart. So, yeah, it's really good to see this carry on, it just doesn't end here. So welcome, Cheryl. Is there anything you want to add about, we did choose a topic, what has God placed on your heart and how long did it take you to say, I will go or I will do it?
Just anything, you mean? Right. Gosh, would have been probably back in 2017 when God placed on my heart to bring my kids home to New Zealand. So I didn't like the desire come first. And so my heart was already softening to that. So it wasn't like I didn't want to come back. I just didn't know how or where we were going to actually land, because I have family in the far north, and I grew up in Auckland. So coming to Masterton, that's how I came here. I always tell people God opened the doors to this place. And so walking into something that was actually exciting for me, it wasn't something that we feared. Yeah.
Gosh. I didn't want to come back. But my mum actually says it's time to come home. And when you've lived in Australia for 16 years, that's how long I'd been there, I'd considered it, this is where I'm staying. And the third time she asked me, I thought, no, I'll just go back for a holiday, see where she's at, spend some time with her. And to then find out that... she was diagnosed with terminal cancer. I just still didn't want to come back. But I wanted to be there. I wanted to spend some time with her. So there was, I think the biggest one was when I found a home, when I found a church. That's where the movement of God started to happen, on where I wanted to be, why I wanted to be here, and all these answers to questions that didn't have a question. When you have an answer but you don't have a question.
Yeah.
So for me, it wasn't so cut and dry where, yep, he's told me to do this. Now totally different 8 years on? Definitely. Moving back to Australia, it was... No, I didn't want to. So praying about it, and the answer that came back was to follow him, which would be my husband. And that was enough. Just that simple answer was enough for me to keep going, to keep on track. I wasn't distracted by anything else, just to follow my husband. That's where he was going, that's where I needed to be. And now, a week away from leaving, there's some quick lessons happening, let me tell you. So now I'm at that point where it's like, I want to, where do I go? Mm. What do I do when I get there? Just let me know and I'll do it. And just this afternoon, before we come onto the show, I'd had a dream, not related, but I had a dream that I saw this lady, and God said, tell her I miss her singing. And I'm like, oh, okay, I can do that. And then the second straight after was I was telling her, and she was holding a coffee, and she was wearing this blue and white dress. And I says, oh, God wanted me to tell you that he misses your singing. And I've never really said God said or God wanted me to tell you. I just felt that I needed to do it. So I saw the woman, and she was wearing a blue and white dress, and she was holding a coffee cup, just come from the cafe. And it just felt weird because of what I was about to say. And I said it. I says, look, this may sound strange, but I had a dream and you were in it, and I believe God said that he misses your singing. And her response was, that's not weird at all. And then she went about her day and I went about mine. But something happened. It may not be seen in the physical, but something happened. And it moved. You know, something moved, something shifted. So that kind of thing. God, I will go. I will do it. That part there was important. Not really so much the message, but the fact that he said to go. And it makes it easier the more I do it. Mm. You know, saying some of the things, it may not make sense to me, but then it's not really about me.
Mm.
It's about being obedient. The magic word, obedient. Mm. And we may not always like what we can't see, the direction that we're going. We may need clarity around a decision or a choice that we have to make. But ultimately, if we believe, if we trust by faith that he's got us, that he is doing a work behind the scenes, then walking or moving forward should be easy.
Mm.
Totally. It's not always, but it should be.
Mm.
It should be.
Yeah.
And I suppose this doing, like being on the show and just encouraging the listeners that, you know, you can do whatever you've put your mind to, because it was first in God's hands before he placed it into you.
Mm-hmm.
So just remember that it's not a mistake, it's there. It's not a mistake that you desire things that aren't even in the country or, you know, or in financially, you desire something that it's impossible if you look at it. Like, I desire to go to Greece for my honeymoon.
It's beautiful there too. I haven't been, but.
But yeah, so is it something that's not attainable? I absolutely think it is, but just keep, you know, what do you have to do, you know?
Mm.
What do you have to put aside?
Yeah.
You know, can you start today? Absolutely.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm. So, yeah. So it's What do you think, like, Cheryl, what do you think are some of the traits or some of the things that you believe you need to take on board or walk out in order to say, God, I will go?
Relationship definitely is a big one. When I hear from God to do something, it starts with relationship, starts with knowing his voice. Knowing his voice is, for me, it's reading his word. It's listening to other teachers. And like I mentioned before, faith for me, faith comes by hearing. That's what the word says. And if I want to grow my faith, that's how I do it. I have to hear everything about it. I read the word, I read it out loud, I listen to it, I put it on a soundtrack, I listen to other teachers. We had this conversation at lunch, like, about, you know, if you see something in your environment that is lacking, then bring the change, or be the change, bring the change. Because it's important, actually. Like, it is actually really important, the type of environment that you you're mm-hmm. in, and the people that you're surrounded by is important. You might have to cut some people away. You're not, like, you don't talk to them for a while, but you don't have to go chasing those types of relationships if you know that it's not serving that purpose. Because you need, because when you decide, especially in the kingdom of God, like, when you're walking towards something, and it'd always be good in God, always. The purpose for your life or the assignment that you're going to do at that time, you can't take everybody with you. You have to take the ones who are going to lift you up, support you, encourage you, because it's not going to be easy. Yeah.
Yeah. And?
And what else? So relationship with God. And I think out of that relationship with God comes confidence, because then you're like, well, how do I explain this? Like, it's, you've got to do something that people, that is actually, I like this word, unconventional. It's not the way that other people do it. God is unconventional. If you read his word, like, not everything's done methodically all the time, and he'll choose people that he wants to choose. We're not even going to go down that track, but there's some real, like, interesting characters that he chooses. It's not always somebody with who knows a lot. But that, I guess I don't like saying that part knows a lot, because it's good to have knowledge. So it's not like you have to be dumb or anything before God uses you. But when you're in a place where you can humble yourself under him, even if you think you know better, well, you actually don't, because God can see all things. So coming back around, what I'm trying to say is, when you have confidence in God, you know that the crazy thing he's asking you to do is going to have your back. We have to believe that, because otherwise you're going to crawl under a rock never to be found again. No. Sometimes you get to that place, eh? Like, you step out and you don't exactly have people like excited to see what you're doing. And that's not because they don't like you. I don't think it's that. It's more like they don't understand. And those are the types of things that God's trying to break. He's trying to break those shells that have become walls. Mm-hmm. And if you're not pursuing people, because John 3:16, that he sent his son to for the whole world, that means the whole world. All those people we don't understand, it means them too. And, like, for me, it's cultural. Like, I used to have this huge barrier against people who spoke Asian or Indian, or, like, they, because it's quite, we don't, yeah, I'm not surrounded by those types of cultures. We're all people, like, and God, yeah, God came for all of them. Watching this movie, I wasn't watching this movie, my husband was watching this movie, and I don't like fighting movies playing in my house. There's an important spiritual thing behind that, and that's what I try and protect my family from. You got to be careful what you open your doors to, but my husband's not there yet, so I, you know, give grace. So he's watching this IP Man, it's a kung fu killing movie. Ip. Yeah, that guy. IP, Ip. But for me, I have a conviction, and I don't want that to be glorified in my home. So anyway, he's watching this thing, and I just see them doing all these, like, you know, Asian things and, like, battle stuff, like, the way they do it, like, They move their hands in certain ways because they're conjuring something. They're conjuring power. That's right. I don't know if you understand that, but they're doing something. They're conjuring something. And I'm like, you died for those people too, eh, Lord? Like, I don't understand. I completely, obviously, the way I'm talking, I don't understand what's happening. But to me, it's using power outside of Jesus. So that's why I see it as not. Yeah, and then there's lots of killing and dying. And I sit there and I'm thinking, well, you know, it is the enemy. Come up with some type of reasoning. But, Barriers. Those are the things I have to push through. Because God came for everybody. But, like, a barrier could be your neighbour's fence. That could be a barrier. Just, you know, you could hear conversations going on next door that you don't want to be a part of, or you know what they're doing next door. And, yeah, that can put a barrier up between you and them because it's easy to be like, well, I'm more righteous than them, which you're not. But you can actually think like that and not reach out to them.
Hmm. Yeah. For my own culture, I had always struggled because I grew up in a school that was very, you have to. And just naturally, I don't like being told that I have to do anything, and I won't listen. So the push and throw because of where I was at, but what was coming back at me, there was more friction than there was anything else. And now that I've given my heart to the Lord, that has helped me when I believe there's some friction coming back, whether it's cultural, whether it's a different perspective. I'm going to say that, different perspective. What would Jesus do, but for myself, what would he have me do? You know, in that certain situation. And I've been around different. I've been around, I'm not saying people aren't pleasant, but things that aren't pleasant. I've been around those things and I'm there and I see it. Because I'm supposed to be there and I'm supposed to see it. And I look at these things and I think, hey, if I'm seeing it, what do I have to give or offer? And just like with breakfast jams, what can I offer? A ear?
Yeah.
time?
Yeah.
You know, space?
Mm-hmm.
Safety?
Yeah.
You know, things that, like, not my knowledge, that will happen, like you said, with a relationship.
Yeah.
You know, to really just seek God and, why am I here? What would you have me do? What do I need to say? Do I need to just sit, stand? But seek God in everything that you do, for every person that comes your way. Because if he loves them just as much as he loves you, then he's put you there.
Yeah.
So that they may see what he's done in me, what he's done in you, and that's why he's... I believe it's a God-considered-us moment.
Hmm.
You know, just like Job. God considered Job. God considered... myself, God considered you to walk in these places that, you know, not always favourable or pleasant, or, you know, you're not going into a mall and buying a gift. You know, he's sending you down an alley or a back street. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Not too many. But yeah, like, he'll put you in places that are not very comfortable, and there's a reason why you're there. You know, it's not to freak you out or anything, but you're there for a reason.
It's interesting because, like, you know how it says coming here, I feel like my assignment's always been about unity. That's why a few of the assignments I've done here since I've been here 4 years now, have all been around gathering. So gathering families, gathering, and these aren't my ideas. These are, they are, but they aren't. Like God will put an idea and then I make that idea mine using my gifts and talents. But God knows that I can do that. So I have confidence knowing that what he gives me, I can do. Mm. And it's just gotten bigger and bigger over the years to the point where, as we were talking before at lunch again, like I was, there's something that I see lacking in my environment, and that is the power of worship. Thanking God, just being grateful for what he's done, remembering what he's done in my life to get me to the place that I'm at today, because it's so easy to forget those things. And it actually says that in my piece of scripture that I hold on to, which is in Deuteronomy, do not forget the Lord your God. And I have to keep remembering. It's not always the easiest thing to do, but if you practice it, you can get there. But that's what worship is as well. It's putting God first. And if we look at, if I look at, I won't even say we, but this is my journey, my lane, and the things that I see that I want, hey, that doesn't line up with God's word, so why isn't it here? Well, the things that I see first is great gratitude and worshiping God, and then the anointing falls on those things. And so because I see a lack of it there, and I'm not very good at it myself, these two things, and I just feel like I heard the Lord say, I can start doing that now by myself and exercising it, but I also feel like I want to, well, I like that word, feel. Not. I also believe that I just want to be in a place that actually doesn't have those distractions and they worship differently, which is happens to be in Mozambique, which is something, this is crazy because it's something that Tan, throughout the whole time we've known each other, she's spoken about. Mozambique, but it's never hit anything until recently. I was reading something online through a missionary couple in Mozambique, but they're in Pemba, and I thought they were in Tanzania. Anyway, looking it all up and doing my research, they're in Mozambique. And so before knowing they were in Mozambique, I was like, I want to go to this place because of the way they worship, and without distractions and all this kind of stuff. But yeah, I shared it with you, and I was yeah, what's Mozambique like after all these years? And she's just about to leave, and now I want to ask her about Mozambique. But I've done a little bit of homework, and it may be on the horizon for my family and I to go and to learn. That's, you know, it's not even really about serving. I mean, that just comes part of going there, but I really want to learn in that area. I want to see it and feel it and be immersed in it. So I can bring it back.
It definitely gave me a different outlook of the world, especially my world, raising two kids as a single parent. When they wanted something, I used to give it, and then it would end up on the floor, or they didn't even want to play with it. But the time to work and then pay for this thing that they didn't want to do anything with, it started to put things in perspective because they had nothing. We actually went to a dump over there, and as we were entering, I saw this big red tomato on a pile of rubbish, and my pastor that I was with said, they put like fresh produce that they find in the rubbish, they put it because they don't normally have it. So that's quite a for us it's a tomato, but for them it's wow.
Like a delicacy.
Yes. And it's red and there's no blemishes. So they find more value in something that it's just a tomato to us. And as we were going around, I saw babies in nappies, not even able to walk with a little hook. And so they've been watching their parents, and the guide that was with us said, this is their norm. This may not be your norm, but this is their norm.
Mm.
And to see that, as we in a world that we live in, or the country that I lived in at the time was Australia, that was eye-opening for me, and like, oh my gosh, your baby is going through rubbish. And then while we were still moving around, within the dump, a truck came to dump some rubbish, but as it was lifting the back of it, the whatever that thing is, the people were running up the dump, up the rubbish, to try and get the best rubbish. So every truck that was coming in, they'd run up. There were people living there, you know, within, had yeah. their own tents, and I was told not to get upset because that's not going to help them.
That's right, yeah.
I was told to, if I'm going to be upset, to go back to the vehicle and do it there, not in front of them.
Mm. Yeah, because just, like, it brings a whole new meaning, I feel, right now. You know, when the Bible says, woe to those who are rich, you shall be poor, and blessed are those who are poor, for you shall be rich. Because it's not about you having to live in a rubbish dump at all. It's not about that before you feel rich, but it's about not having these distractions, like what you're talking about with all the stuff that we can accumulate in our lives actually do something to us. Like it overloads us, it tells us lies, it says we don't have enough.
Mm.
So it's actually a heart thing. It's a heart thing. So it's not, I just think it's not, I just want to, yeah, clarify. It's not about, you know how we talk about dreams and all these things. It's not about not, you shouldn't want these things. You should stay in poverty and in your bliss. It's not about that. It's about your heart. And like you say, in their hearts, doing what they're doing is just like their norm. But doesn't mean that we, you know, we should still have compassion for those things, because in the midst of that, they still have strongholds like we do. Yeah. We could probably go on, but I won't.
It also, look, they also had a time of church and to... We're conventional where I was going, like we did stand up, but we didn't dance around the aisles.
Oh yeah,
there wasn't elaborate ribbons and just flowy. Like everyone was in sync. Like when you listen to music and you feel it's like that vibration, like everything's sync. Yeah. That's how it was. Everyone was singing the same in unison. Like, no one was out of key, it just, boom. Like, it was like on a tape.
Unity.
Mm, very much so. And everyone was singing, like, you could tell it was an individual, individually unified.
Yeah.
You know, just the presence. I felt such a calmness and a wow.
Yeah.
You could feel that God was moving within everyone that was there.
Yeah.
You know, and I suppose the authenticity brings me back when I think, I want to bring unity. I want to bring, you know, to bring it in a way that everyone is in sync.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
Not better than anyone, not like if you've got to pull up someone to be unified, then encourage the heck out of whoever that person is, because a team can't work if you're allowing someone not to you know, that's to stay right. where they're at, you know. You need to bring unity by everyone encouraging one another. Like in any team, it doesn't just have to be on a worship team, but any team, even at work, even if you're like cycling and you all meet somewhere, bring that unity.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and own it.
Yes, I love that, because you can actually gather in a place that can look like unity, but it's not.
Mm.
Like, and because you know how it says that God commands a blessing, and When people come together, unity, God will command a blessing. Sometimes you can do that on the outside and not actually be unified on the heart on the inside.
Mm. Mm.
But that's, that's so important to be unified.
That's funny. when, because I'm leaving, there's a lot of gatherings where people would come and share about them missing me. And I don't know if it's my ABCs, but I was struggling to get the what I'm hearing to connect to my heart, like to feel the same way. And so I've struggled with that. Like, I get that you're going to miss me, but what are you going to miss? Now, I could ask that of Cheryl, and she'll say, because of my relationship with Cheryl, but what are you going to miss? I'd like you to tell me what you're going to miss.
Yeah.
I don't want people to use words that are just, I will miss you, I will love you, or I love you.
Yeah.
What do you love? Come on.
You know what, too? Like, you're going on to, you're part of the kingdom, so you're being sent out from here. You're being sent out, that's how I see it. So you're still part of
the body.
Yeah. And so it's exciting for me. Like, I'm going to obviously miss you and stuff, but because it's going to be a huge change for me as well. Like, my whole life will change because, yeah, it will change because you're not just around the corner to go for cups of teas and stuff. But that means growing for me, which is, that's why I say I'm excited, because God knows I'm ready for the next step.
Yes.
And yes. I'm going to be walking beside Tan anyway, yes. Even though she's in another country.
Yeah.
Because we know what we are doing.
Yeah.
What? And yeah. Not that it's not, hey, it's not the only way you can work in the kingdom. Like, we know what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then God will bring mm-hmm. other people in. And
yes.
I feel. Anyway.
Yes.
But yeah. It's continuous. It's continuous.
And I believe you're ready. I believe you're ready to take on what God's got in store for you.
Yeah.
I believe that when it's happened before where I've left and they're like, oh, so you're gone. But this time you're preparing yourself.
Yeah.
You're not just waiting for the day before and then hold on, I need to say something.
That's right,
you know,
yeah.
And he's walking with you while you're preparing.
Yeah,
you know, right. So you're not alone.
And, no. And we'll always, like, I always have this attitude, I will always have a mentor somewhere because I'll never, do you know what I mean? We all, no matter how much we know down the track, there'll always be somebody who knows some more than you. And I love that. I love having, like, well, whoever that's going to be next for that, I don't know what's going to be. It might be in Mozambique. No, I don't know. Yes. Who knows? Like, yeah.
So my first forgiveness started there.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Who knows?
Yeah.
God knows.
Yes, he does. And you know what? If he needs me to work something out, Greece is good this time of year, Lord. Like, if I want to put a petition out there, Greece is good. I just believe to enjoy, you know, just to be joyful, to be happy. I'm noticing I laugh more.
Mm.
I used to laugh a lot more, but that was because I was intoxicated. But I don't need alcohol to be funny. I don't need alcohol to laugh. It just comes naturally. And I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying that, you know, that banter that I have with my daughter and my husband and sometimes my kids. Just don't get it. But, to enjoy life, you know, just to and be kind. I don't know how many times I have to say this. Be kind to yourself. We make mistakes. We will continue to make mistakes. I will make another mistake today. I definitely will. But just to be okay, it's okay. It is okay. And just coming up here and just to talk about not being able to connect, I miss you, to my heart. Someone just said it before I come here, and I'm like, oh. I'm saying to them now, I really have to process that. Give me a minute. Because
yeah.
I just couldn't say it back.
Yeah, those are the hard ones. But it's good to be honest. Honesty is needed so that it stops.
Yes. And I suppose I curb honesty because when I grew up, oh, no, you know, you're too blunt, you're too this, you know. Not that I'm too honest, but blunt was definitely something that come at me. And I am still blunt, but, however, there is some grace now. Mm. Whereby there wasn't, it just was blunt. It hit my head and out my mouth it come. I don't know if people can relate, but that's just how I think it. I say it, and now there's grace behind it. I still think it and say it,
yeah.
But it slows down, and I wrap it around. I wrap grace around the message.
I saw blunt in like this really cool light on the weekend through another movie by the way I didn't want to play, but I was like, well, I'm there, I'm going to learn something. The Accountant, have you seen that movie? It's got Ben Affleck in it.
Oh, yes.
And he's got maybe autism, he's on the spectrum.
Yes.
Anyway, there are parts in there that the woman was like, he was working with this woman and she's like, do you like my hair or something? And he's like, no. I just straight up no. And I was like, it's not about being tough like that, but I actually go around in circles quite a bit. It doesn't help me because of my overly compassionate heart. That when things come across my way that actually needed more truth than me just patting them on the back and giving sympathy, because it's not that I don't want to give sympathy, it just doesn't help them grow. And,
Bam.
So, yeah, I want to, because I said to Conan, I was like, I have this like full-on compassionate heart for people, and then when they leave me, I'm like, oh, why don't they just get it or something, or you know, and then their life would be, surely they're listening or rah, rah, rah. But that doesn't help anyone, doesn't help me, like it's not even something I should be doing because it's not good for me to spill out like that. But what's the answer? It's being honest and truthful, and yeah. I guess for me it's just...
And grace covered.
And grace, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because I'd hate to make anyone feel less than anything, but I would. I also hate the fact that they come to me with something and then I pat them on the back and make them feel all good and nice, and then next week they've got the same problem again and they come to me about it. That's why I'm talking about this. It's not like I come across it. They actually come to me about it. And I'm like, we're going around this mountain again. But I want to learn that. He just says no, and the person reacted like, okay, he doesn't like my hair, just walked away. And I was like, that is so cool.
Yeah.
Like, what a gift.
I bet she doesn't. I bet she doesn't come the next day and say, do you like my hair?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's still the same.
Exactly. I'm trying to think of time. I mean, there have been times in my life too, especially through my walk in the Lord, when someone has bluntly said, no, this is the truth. No matter how you feel about it, the truth ain't going to change for you.
Mm.
And I didn't like it at the beginning, but I'm so thankful that the truth doesn't change for anyone, because it is the one thing that we can go to right now as the world goes upside down.
Yep.
And then we can stand on that truth.
Mm. Well, I'm going to have to turn off the aircon because I can't feel my toes. So,
well, tell me which button to
just hit. That one by the red light. You just push.
This one?
Yep. Boom. There you go. Look at that.
Okay.
So, we're going to play a song. And this song I heard over the weekend. Whoops. Look at that. I heard over the weekend and look at this. And it really blessed me, and it's called The Blessing. So, let's listen to this. Thank you.
His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn toward you and give you peace. Amen. Amen.
Amen. The blessing. Yes. So we were just discussing the ins and outs of Cheryl's takeover. You know, just new things and taking up every opportunity. And this was an opportunity that I grabbed and I ran with, not wanting it, but
yeah, that's right.
It became something a lot bigger than me.
Yep.
And for to pass on the baton.
Yeah.
I've run my race and I'm finishing it today. And I'm passing the baton on to Cheryl.
Yeah.
To run her race. You
That's
know,
right.
Whatever God's put on her heart to talk about, and even a name change, if you know, if that's in the future too. But the why it started was an opportunity.
Yeah, that's right. You know? And we were just saying, like, you can't let opportunities pass you by. If you don't 100% understand it, just give it a go. I mean, there's some things we discussed as well off air, that there are things that I have been presented with two different paths to take, I've had to weigh the pros and cons of those up, because sometimes one way, well, for me in this case, one way looks like it's taking the easy way out, but whatever decision's being made will always be made by faith.
Mm, yeah.
So you can't always be right.
Mm.
Yeah. So.
It should be interesting.
Yeah.
When we just move by faith, when I believe something is definitely hard, and I look at it and it could be quite difficult, I run to those things.
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely run to those things, because that scripture that comes to mind is, when I'm weak, I'm strong.
Yeah, yeah.
That's followed me for many, many years.
Yeah.
So when I can sing, but you put me in to a worship leader, I've fail, I just get nervous, or I just don't feel I should, but that's perfect.
Yeah.
That is absolutely the perfect place to be.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, that is a...
But you're lining yourself up with and positioning yourself for God to do something great, grand. To be in a place where you know that you need Him, no matter what it is. That's definitely an amazing place to be, because you will witness miracles, not only in yourself, but in those around you. I've witnessed miracles in prayer. I've witnessed miracles in health, even finances. Our car got stolen over the weekend, and it didn't even faze.
Mm.
Like, I shared it with a couple of people, but other than that, it wasn't something that grabbed my attention.
Yeah, didn't worry about it.
Yeah, I didn't. Yes, exactly, I didn't worry about it. And I didn't put it in a place where it needed to be in my vision.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. It's sort of fall to the wayside. Because what is it, a hindrance?
A distraction. If you want to distract me from my faith, then I'm not going to give you the time of day.
Yeah.
No matter what that is.
Yeah. Focus is important.
Yeah.
What you set your eyes on. Yeah.
And vision. Surround yourself with friends that have the same focus.
Definitely important.
They don't have to look the same. They don't even have to speak the same language.
Or the same age.
Yes.
Like, there are people I've seen. I actually follow some people who are not even in the country. They become my friends. I, like, call them my friends. And then my kids are like, they don't even know who you are, Mum. But it's not about that. I follow the faith. I don't follow the person. I follow the way they are. They teach me how to put God's words into action.
Mm.
And then the fruits that come off that, and I'm like, that's what we need in my hometown, which right now is Masterton. Mm. We need that. We yeah. need, we need, like, gosh, the word says that we are free and not, and I'm like, I still have, you know, I'm still working on that myself. So I need mentors for certain areas, but I know what the word says is what I'm saying. And if I'm not seeing it, why? There we go.
I just felt like, let's carry around a basket and hand out fruit. And,
yeah,
and label them just like your
actually, chairs. Actually, you know how Paul made pani poppers? Are they what they call panikikis or something? It sounds very well. We had this guy turn up with a bowl of panikikis. I think they're little round donuts with sugar and cinnamon on top.
Yeah.
Well, Conan made them the next day. And so we didn't share any of it. But I was just like, flour, something else. It wasn't expensive to put together. But they're so delicious, eh? And I'm like, you can easily put these in bags and give them away.
Hmm.
Like, we have what we have in our cupboards. Like, oh, we don't...
It is Christmas, the time it of is, giving. Yeah,
exactly.
Yes, you know?
So you can just walk up and down, I don't know, somewhere. You find your place. Find your influence.
Yeah.
But no matter where it is, don't have to be heaps of people.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, I had a time this week or last week, where I did some baking with my daughter, and for me, it was baking. Let's bake some biscuits. Quack, quack, quack. Let's bake some cake. Quack, quack, quack.
Wow.
So it was baking that like
actual heaps of food stuff.
Yeah. And she came up to me and she said, thank you for today. I said, what happened? And she says, because we were cooking together and, you know, I really enjoyed it. Now, the way I see the world is very black and white, but God allows me to see a rainbow every day, you know, on what I am good at to also what I'm not so good at. And he changes that by allowing me to see rainbows. And that moment was a rainbow. We went up to Matamata to pick up my husband because that's where the car was stolen. And we went up there and there were twin rainbows. And my son was snapping with my phone. But it didn't capture the beauty that I saw. Like... the colours, legit, when it hit the ground, those colours you saw on the ground?
Yeah.
Like it wasn't just in the sky and it fell behind bushes. It legit, the colours hit the ground and you could see it on the ground. People were stopping along the highway, because it was a highway,
yeah,
just to have a look at it. Is this real? And there were two of them. And my son then took photos of the sunset because the... I think we arrived at about 8:30, which is when around about the same time. And I was driving. By this time, I was very, very tired. But I looked back through my phone, and he captured the moment as the car was moving. He caught those rainbows and that sunset, and then I was right back where he was. In the car, listening to him. Mum, can you see this? No, I can't see this. I'm driving. But I was right back with him. And then he started talking about the photos that he took, and he remembers them, but I was right there.
Yeah.
You know, those moments, those are rainbows. We did see rainbows, but just to not miss those, you know.
Yeah.
To be present, to whether it's a friendship, whether it's a marriage, whether it's as a parent with your children, stay in those moments because they're very, very rare. And, you know, they grow up so fast, so, so fast. And, like, grab them, you know. Stay in those moments for as long as you can. And if you can capture the moment on your phone or just take a picture, then take a picture. And these are the things that you can leave as a legacy to your family.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys, for listening. Thank you for putting up with me for as long as you have. I don't know how long I've been doing this, but it just it's been amazing. I've enjoyed my time on the radio and also with When the Room Goes Quiet. All the guests that I've had, thank you for coming on, especially to Cheryl, who has been championing me inside this Arrow FM, but also outside as a friend. Thank you for listening. I hope you've got something from this, because I definitely learned something about myself being on the show. I love the people that run Arrow FM. Look, they're friendly. They're just a beautiful bunch to be around. So thank you for joining me. Thank you, Cheryl, for being on the show today. Mm. I hope you just, you know, do amazing things next week onwards. And, yeah, the future is bright.
Amen.
And that's a wrap. Thank you. And, yeah, enjoy the rest of your week. Bye for now.